Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman, and in this episode, I'm going to title it How to Avoid Hiring an Agile Coach. And do visit our SlideShare website. We'll attach the link in the description of this podcast so you can visit our SlideShare where I have a deck related to this topic. But the reason why I am calling this How to Avoid Hiring an Agile Coach, most of you know the irony of that is that I have been an Agile Coach for several big organizations full-time, probably for the last 6 years. And before that, I worked internally as an internal coach within companies. So suffice it to say that I have played this role and that companies have leveraged and found what I brought to the table very valuable. But as I wrap up one assignment, one of the things that I find is that I do see organizations, just like what a lot of things like training, when it comes to budget cuts or saving money, they think it's always the first thing they look at is things like professional development. And coaching falls right up under that umbrella. But I understand completely why companies have to be frugal and prudent and evaluate these things. And to some extent, I'm also I'm very pragmatic. Because I've been in that position where it came down to budgets and dollars and cents and making sure if you did have budget, it was to maybe hire someone with a specific skill set that was going to help your team versus things that are affiliated with more of growth and development and continuous improvement. But of course, it's a catch-22 because you can't continue to prosper. You'll stagnate. Things will get stale if you aren't always reevaluating and questioning and looking for new ways of doing things. And that's especially so in IT, in information technology and software. The world is, the industry moves extremely fast, and because of technology, every other industry also is moving so much faster. I look at, and as a lot of you know, I have a passion about rockets and rocket launches, and where there might be one rocket launch at one point, maybe every couple of years, we're talking about in an area where I live near Cape Canaveral in Florida, that you can catch a rocket launch maybe once or twice a week, definitely several throughout the month. These are rocket launches. And so thanks to technology and efficiency, reuse, that someone like Elon Musk and SpaceX and their competitors are changing the whole pace of that industry. And so it's the same for any industry, whether it's banking or hospitals or those companies that make the hardware for computers and our mobile phones. The functionality is just changing on a day-to-day basis. And all this can be considered a good thing. So this is why the people who make all of these things have to always kind of be in a mode of continuous learning, looking at the bleeding edge. So not only doing the work, but evaluating how you do the work and figuring out how to do it better. And imagine if you can bring in a specialist that their full-time attention is at looking at ways to do things better, to observe things objectively, use years of experience from looking at processes and kind of being able to already evaluate what combination of processes, what those outcomes will be, and or what you can avoid as far as putting the wrong combination of processes together. Because by and large, the area of process improvement as it relates to things like Agile, Scrum, Kanban, Scaled Agile, all those different formats, we're just kind of reusing and mixing and matching pieces. And then we might put a new name on it, but it's still a form of reuse. And with that reuse, though, we now can look and compare it. We've got enough data collected that we can compare it to previous attempts and to say if there's any new conditions or any new combinations that will perhaps allow for different results depending on the conditions. And so it's almost a way, having a coach is a way to kind of fast forward to through some of the trial and error. But sometimes companies would rather go with the trial and error. And as a coach, I'm not against trial and error. So I promote and support that and even can help facilitate that. But with the caveat that sometimes trial and error can be more expensive. So if you're trying to fast track, if you're trying to save money or time, and money is of the essence, what people think is, well, I'll cut the coach to save money, but trying to do it yourself, what you might do is find that you actually might get yourself in more tangled up or dig a deeper hole, however you want to look at it. And then by the time you bring someone in, it's going to take a little bit longer or a lot longer to get you one or two steps ahead. All that to say, at the beginning, I said my title was, why do you need to hire a coach, or do you even need to hire a coach? And so, in all honesty, in my slide deck, I do give you some parameters that if you choose not to hire a professional coach, then I say that there's ways to, within your organization, build the muscle. Take certain people that have key capabilities and have them focus on the coaching aspects, what a professional coach would do. Now, all that to say that if you're going to pick people that are already in your organization, already on your payroll, it may seem, again, that you're saving money, but at the same time, you have to expect that they'll have to take time away from their current responsibilities to focus on the coaching aspect. Again, otherwise, then you're approaching this as if what the coach does is not that significant. It doesn't take a lot of time, and it can be done part-time or even less than part-time, and it can be done at leisure, and that it's pretty much kind of a no-brainer. No prep needed. And all of those things in themselves is where the breakdown comes when we start talking about whether or not you need to hire an agile coach. Because all of those things are false. It does take time, and a lot of time it's being done in parallel and in competition with the work that might be a person's primary job. And so they're always going to sacrifice the coaching piece to do their primary job, especially during peak times. Then secondly, there's prep that has to go in. A lot of times you might see the coach maybe only from time to time. I would say probably over 2/3 of my time is offline hours where I'm prepping and I'm researching or I'm evaluating the data, taking the data I've collected or the observation, running back through it, and then now coming up with custom solutions. That's the advantage of a seasoned and professional agile coach, is that they're taking your own unique combination of whether it's a combination of your current culture, the people there, most recent experiences, any type of change going on, looking at things that are both upstream and downstream, internal and external. You're taking all those factors that are unique to your particular configuration, and sometimes that differs from team to team even, and then trying to help you find your way forward. I, as a coach, for example, many times have been asked and brought in and say, train 10 teams and then coach them. The training may be the same, it may be a baseline, but that coaching is individualized because each team has its own personality. Each person on that team has their own personality, way of working, the way they absorb information and retain it, the way they react to change. And so that coach, then the more experiences and exposure that they've had, they've seen those certain behaviors or reactions or personalities, and then have seen the different combinations of those and or studied that, so that then you can determine what's the next step forward. So bringing someone internal and expecting them in or thinking that it's a matter of, we'll train them to be a coach. Coaching, the art and science of coaching is a living organism. There's professional certifications for the coaching, for enterprise coaching, for team coaching versus individual coaching. All of that has to be taken in consideration with a good understanding of SDLC, with Agile, with Scrum, then even sprinkling of technical knowledge and understanding what it is you're exactly building, who your customer is. So this is a lot to expect someone pre-existing on your team with pre-existing responsibilities to be able to acquire this even while being coached. Now, I've gone into organizations and I've coached their future coaches. That in and of itself typically takes about 18 to 24 months. I've seen organizations try to take a group of people, no matter how smart or advanced or whatever previous experience they've had. Maybe they've been scrum masters, maybe they've been project managers, or maybe they've been engineering managers. I've seen all different types that have been selected to be the coaches. Now, at the team level, again, there is still a lot of skills and experience and exposure and situational knowledge that is needed, that therefore it takes time. At the same time, every one of those roles that I name, from project manager to scrum master to engineering manager, still has a different skill set and approach and nuance than coaching. So sometimes even bringing people with or having them play both roles, it can be a conflict of interest, or it can prolong their transition into learning the true approach to coaching. And then the reality is that oftentimes they're experiencing the change at the same time as the group that you're trying to coach. So they're even questioning the change. So all that to say is, do you have to hire a coach? Of course not. Do you have to adjust your expectations to make them more realistic, to understand what the outcomes are going to be, and to understand that, like anything else, you're taking a gamble with the outcome? And depending on where you are and what your finances dictate, but are there some things that you can do to, as much as possible, try to make sure that you're productive. And if you're going to introduce the concept of having and doing continuous process improvement, I would certainly say make sure that the people that you designate, you give them enough time from their day job. Let them be neutral. Maybe work with a different group than their immediate group to coach a group and to be able to be neutral. Make sure you provide them with some type of training or at least resources to learn some of the concepts of coaching. And then if your funding allows, at least have a professional coach that maybe can check in, perhaps quarterly, to give recommendations and suggestions on the coaching process. So, you thought I just was going to bad talk the idea of not having a coach, but those are some very real considerations, and I wish you the best of luck. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Thanks for listening.